Hello, dear friends, and welcome to Revelation. This is the classroom of the air, bringing you truth for today. Praise the Lord for His abundant blessings on this broadcast. I rejoice that you are here to share with me in the revelation of God's truth today. You see, friends, we need the truth today like never before. In John 8:32, Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." When we come to the truth and plant it in our hearts and practice it in our lives, then we will be protected from the lies of Satan. We'll be set free from his attacks, and we will walk in victory. That's the purpose of our teaching here today. We're in the middle of a teaching series entitled Five Lies That Destroy Lives. And it's my prayer that God will enlighten your eyes so that you may know the truth and be set free. I'm here to expose the lies of the enemy and let God's truth build a wall against him. So open your heart to God's word and let his truth set you free. Last week, we began our series with the message, The Half-Truth of Happiness. We learned about a lie that many people have believed, and the result is that it has destroyed many lives. See, when you seek happiness above all else, you are bound to fail, for happiness doesn't satisfy. God has something greater than happiness. And if you missed last week's episode, be sure to visit my website at www.revrcw.com. There you can watch the program and get the notes from last week's powerful lesson. Today, we're studying the second lie of Satan, called the error of ego. Now, this lie is different from last week. Last week, we learned about a half-truth. It was partly true and partly false. But the error of ego is a complete lie. There's no truth in it at all. And if we're not careful, this lie will infiltrate our hearts and minds, just like the devil has planned to destroy us. So to begin our study of God's Word today, we're going to look at a story found in Mark chapter 10. In Mark 10, the Bible tells us, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we want you to do for us whatever we ask.' 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked. They replied, 'Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in glory.' When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, 'You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friend, does this story sound familiar to you? It may be familiar because you've read it in the Bible, or perhaps the story is familiar because you've seen it in your own life. The names and circumstances may have changed, but if we're honest today, we can all relate to this story from personal experience. For you see, it's a story that occurs every day in every country throughout all of time. The story of men trying to come in first, men trying to get ahead of others. It's a story of men using whatever means they can to come out on top and take first place. See, this story is about two brothers, James and John. They came to Jesus and asked him to make them the top two leaders in his kingdom. "Place us ahead of everyone else," they tell Jesus. "We want to be number one and number two." But it's not just those two who wanted to be first. When the other disciples hear about it, they're angry. They also want first place. So they begin to complain to Jesus, "Don't choose them. Pick me. Promote me. I want to be number one," they all shout. And if not for Jesus, this would have surely come to blows. If not for Christ, they would have gone on radio cursing and insulting one another, using all available means to pull the others down so they could come in first. Now, unfortunately, the story of the disciples is also the story of all mankind. For you see, men believe the lie that we're going to study today. This is the lie. It says, "I will take first place when I place myself first." In other words, I will come out on top when I fight and force my way up. And that's the essence of the error of ego. Ego means the exaltation of self as more important than others. The error of ego is the lie that says, I am more important than anyone else. I'm the center of my world, and everyone else and all other things must bow to me. The error of ego is the lie that says, if I put myself first, I'll succeed in life. Now, some of you might be shocked and surprised when you hear me say that this is a lie. After all, what's wrong with wanting to come out on top? What's wrong with fighting for first place? After all, many people think, if I don't look out for myself, who else will? If I don't struggle and fight for my rights, someone will cheat me. Someone will push ahead of me. Someone will deny me first place. So many people believe the lie and say, I better get in there and make sure I get mine. And this lie seems normal to us today because the whole world operates like this. In fact, every fight, every quarrel, every war comes from this root. You only need to look at the way people drive to see evidence of this. We cut others off. We jump the queue. We push our way to the front. Never mind if we step on somebody else, the lie says. We believe we will come in first place by placing ourselves first. Now, Jesus himself knew that the entire world system operated like this. That's why he said in verse 42, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Jesus knows this is how the world works, but he then tells them, you must not believe the lie. Don't go along with it, Jesus says, for it is not the way of God. The world operates on the basis of ego. Me first, you get denied. Me win, you lose. Me ahead, you behind. That's the definition of ego. Me, me, me. But when our getting ahead forces someone else down, then that has turned to selfishness and pride. Pride that exalts itself above others. Pride that even exalts itself above God. And Jesus knows that the result of this pride will be destruction. For you see, this is what happened to Satan. Satan at one time was the beautiful archangel Lucifer. He was carrying worship to the throne of God himself. But pride filled his heart. He exalted himself above God. Pride kept Satan out of heaven and turned him into the devil. And pride will destroy your life as well. If we're not careful, we have to know that pride will take us down. And if we're honest today, we must all admit that to some extent, we've all fallen prey to this lie. So we need to deal with the sin of pride, for it is the root sin of all others. The error of ego has even entered the church, and Satan's forces are now using that to destroy the church with pride. So let me ask you today, do you know what pride is? Do you know the signs of pride? I think sometimes we underestimate pride. We make it so simple. We look at others who walk a certain way or wear certain types of dress or drive certain types of cars, and we accuse them of pride. We think people who live in a certain neighborhood or community are proud, or someone who belongs to a certain political party are proud. But pride is much deeper than that. There are actually four types of pride. So listen carefully to these signs of pride and see if you don't find yourself there. First of all, there's basic pride. This is the attitude that says, I'm better than others. I have all the answers. And pride can be seen when I place myself above others and count my needs as more important than theirs. Pride can be seen when I fail to consult God. I think I can do it on my own. I'm just as important as him. I don't need him. I can do it myself. And pride can be seen when we disobey God, when we fail to do what he says. We think we know better, so we count our rules as more important than his, our ideas more than his, our methods superior to God's. Pride is really placing yourself above God. You try to make yourself like God. For this is exactly what Satan did and why he fell. When we think about it, we could define pride like this: contending for supremacy with God. And the result is found in Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. For pride causes you to stumble. The second type of pride is arrogance, which is thinking more highly of yourself than you should. If you have a hard time accepting criticism or correction, it's due to arrogance. Who are you to tell me I'm wrong? People say, don't judge me. And they don't want to listen to correction because of their arrogance. They get offended when someone tells them something they need to change. So friend, when your head starts to swell, remember your mind stops growing. And arrogance will prevent you from growing or learning. That's why Proverbs 10:17 says, people who ignore correction will go astray. Not long ago, a young man was driving a lorry with great speed through town when he came to an overhead bridge. He misjudged the height of his rig and the clearance of the overhead, so he kept on driving with great arrogance. People were shouting at him, stop, stop, but he wouldn't listen. The lorry was too tall and the overhead too low, and when he went through with speed, the lorry got stuck under the overhead. It was wedged so tight that they couldn't move it at all. Wreckers were called to try to remove the truck, but with all their skills and equipment, they couldn't budge it at all. Now, among the bystanders was a young student who had watched the whole scenario. The lad walked over to the men and suggested that they let the air out of the tires. And when they did that, the air came out, the great truck began to settle down slowly and break free from the bridge. A wrecker was then chained to the truck, and it was gently pulled backward. When the truck was free, then the tires were reinflated, and the trucker was again on his way. But friends, that's a picture of arrogance. When you're so puffed up with pride, it traps you. You get stuck, and the only way out is to let the air out of your tires, to deflate your pride and bring yourself back down low. So what is pride? Well, there's basic pride. Then there's arrogance, and then the third type of pride is vanity, when you compare yourself to others. Philippians 2:3-5 says, do nothing out of vain conceit. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Vanity can be seen when we're consumed with our image, how we appear to others. Facebook is a good example of that. Many people put a profile picture of a celebrity as their Facebook profile picture. They want to create an image, an impression of someone who is handsome or beautiful or successful. And vanity can be seen in the time and money spent on makeup and hair, clothes and jewelry. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with looking good. It's a good thing to dress well and smell well and to be pleasant to the eye. But vanity comes in when you're consumed in it, when you take your value and your self-respect from how you look. That's vanity. When you emphasize your outward appearance more than your character, that is vanity. And it's not just ladies. Now even men are getting into the act as well. I think young men on Facebook are some of the most vain people in the world. They take a picture of themselves, they post it and comment on it, and then they like their own comment. Brother, you're not all that. Get over yourself. Friend, if you're worried about your image and what people think of you, then you will be easily manipulated. You will do what the other person wants, and that person can control you. That's why vanity causes stress. We get under pressure about what others think of us and how we compare to others, and are we dressed right, and do we walk and talk right? But friends, image is what people think of you, but character is what you really are. God doesn't look at your image, He looks at your character. Image is worthless, but character lasts forever. We can probably all relate to the story of the fox and the crow. One day the fox was walking through the field, looking for food to eat, when he happened upon a crow feasting on a juicy piece of meat. When the crow saw the fox, he quickly carried the meat in his beak and flew off to a nearby tree and sat proudly holding the meat in his beak. I must have that meat, the fox said. After all, I am a fox. So the fox walked over to the tree and began to flatter the crow. Oh, Miss Crow, he said, how well you are looking today. How glossy your feathers, how bright your eyes. I feel sure your voice must surpass that of all other birds. Oh, please, dear crow, just sing me a beautiful song. Well, the crow lifted up her head and began to caw her best. But the moment she opened her mouth to caw, the piece of meat fell to the ground to be snapped up by Mr. Fox. That will do, said the fox. That was all I wanted. In exchange for your meat, I will give you a piece of advice for the future. Do not trust flatterers. Friends, flattery is like perfume. It smells good, but it's deadly when you swallow it. Let me tell you something today. Some of the prophecy going on today is not coming from God. It's the devil simply flattering you and puffing you up to make you arrogant and vain. God is not in the business of exalting you. He's in the business of exalting His holy name alone. And whenever a prophecy comes that tells you how great you're going to be, look out and be careful. Once a young man came to me with a word claiming that he came from God, telling them how great he would be. Be careful of words from God that tell you how great you will be or compare you to others. Some people come with prophecies saying, "The Lord has spoken to me that I will have the greatest ministry of all time. I will be greater than my mates." Really? The last time I read the Bible, it said, "Don't compare yourself to others." And how can God now prophesy over you and violate His own word? God said He won't share His glory with another, and He's not in exalting you, He's in exalting His name. And pride is seen when we contend with God to rule our lives. Pride is seen when we're arrogant and won't listen to others. And pride is seen in vanity when we value man's opinions more than God's, and when we're more interested in image than character. The fourth type of pride is called ego, which is simply me first. Listen to Proverbs 13:10, where the Bible says pride leads to conflict. And friends, the error of ego is that it always causes strife, quarreling, and contention. For you see, when you say, "I'm more important than you, I come first," you become rude and pushy. You fight in your marriage because of ego. You hold grudges because of ego. There were two goats one time who were trying to cross a bridge over a river. Now, the bridge was very narrow. One goat was coming this way, and the other came from the other side. And at the middle, they met themselves. Now, there was no room for the two goats to pass. So the first said, "Go back. There's no room for both of us." The second goat said, "Why should I go back? Better you must go back." Then the first goat said, "No, you go back, for I am stronger than you." The second goat said, "Who said you are stronger than me?" "We will see about that," said the first goat, and he put down his horns to fight. But suddenly wisdom prevailed, and the second goat said, "Stop. If we fight, we shall both fall into the river and be drowned. Instead, I have a plan. I will lay down, and you can walk over me." Then the wise one laid down on the bridge, and the other goat walked over him. So they both crossed the bridge comfortably and went on their ways. That's the type of humility we need. When we're proud, it brings stress, stupidity, strife, and stumbling. But worse than that, it brings destruction. For you see, that's how you pave, P-A-V-E, the road to destruction. Pride, arrogance, vanity, and ego. When you're proud, you pave the road to destruction. That's why this lie destroys lives. If you believe the lie that to take first place, I must place myself first, then you are ignoring God's word and causing pain and disaster in your life. So in place of the lie, we need the truth. What is the truth that will help us to overcome this error of ego? The truth is this: pride destroys lives, but humility brings success. Listen again to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 10. "Not so with you," he said. "Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." You see, Jesus comes right out and gives us the exact opposite of the error of ego. Instead of pride, arrogance, vanity, and ego, he gives us the truth about humility. We must become servants. Instead of vanity and arrogance, Jesus commands us to be humble. For the fact is, God hates pride. Proverbs 16:5 says, "The Lord detests the proud. They will surely be punished." He hates pride. He detests proud people. And that's why in James 4, he says, "God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." And friend, if you're proud or arrogant or vain or egotistical, God will actively fight against you. You can claim all the promises of God you want. You can pray in tongues all night. You can even fast. But God says, I will stand against you and I will fight you. And God Almighty will work to bring you down when you're proud, arrogant, vain, and egotistical. But listen to Isaiah 66, verse 2. These are the ones I look on with favor, says God, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. And today God is looking for the one who's humble. He's searching for that one to favor. And I say, oh God, here I am. I humble myself before me. I want you to look upon me. Proverbs 22, 4 says, true humility and fear of the Lord will lead to riches, honor, and long life. So the solution for your life today is this. I will die to self and live for Christ. You won't take first place by grabbing it for yourself. You take first place by humbling yourself, emptying yourself, and surrendering yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark 10:45, Jesus said, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. God is calling all of us today to follow him in full surrender. God is calling us to the place where we will say, I will trust God to place me where he wants me without promoting myself. God is calling you today to know that promotion comes from him, not by scheming and fighting and struggling for power, not by pulling others down. God wants you to humble yourself before him and acknowledge him as God alone in your life, to yield to him and his ways, and to say, I will serve God and others and die to self so that Jesus might be glorified in me. Friend, we need the attitude today of John the Baptist in our churches. In John 3:30, John the Baptist said, he, meaning Jesus, must increase, but I, John the Baptist, must decrease. If John the Baptist had been a preacher in Accra today, he would never have conducted his ministry the way he did. He would not have agreed to go to the wilderness. He would rather have promoted himself and placed himself in the center of Jerusalem. But when God moves, he can take the entire city to the wilderness to find ministry through you. If John were some of the preachers today, he would have tried to block Jesus from baptizing. He would have seen Christ as competition. He would have preached against him and tried to pull him down. He would have used the fact that he baptized Jesus to prove that he was greater. But John did none of those things. He rather died to himself to exalt the Lord. And Jesus said there was no prophet greater than John the Baptist. That's why Jesus says in Luke 17:33, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you let your life go, you will save it. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, can't you see we've lost sight of what God really wants today? If you claim a promotion over everyone else in your company, and there's another Christian claiming promotion over everyone else in the company, then who is going to win? I'll tell you who wins. The devil wins. Because if two brothers are both claiming promotion over one another, they'll start viewing the other brother as the enemy. They'll start fighting and backbiting to get up over another. If Jesus lived like many Christians live today, he would never have died on the cross for us. He would have been too busy claiming the promises. He would not have come to earth to suffer and die. See, friends, Jesus said, even the Son of Man didn't come to be served. He laid his life down. You might say today, well, Jesus did those things so I don't have to. Jesus suffered so I don't have to. Jesus was humble so I don't have to be humble. Jesus became the tail so I could become the head. But friend, listen to the Bible, God's word, in Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For Matthew 10:24, he said, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. 2 Timothy 2 tells us this is a trustworthy saying, if we die with him, we will live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. Jesus Christ is calling us today to put aside the error of ego, to humble ourselves and follow our Lord Jesus Christ as he has commanded us to do. Do away with pride, arrogance, vanity, and ego. For when you overcome the error of ego with the truth of humility, you'll be on the path of success and of righteousness, allowing God to have his way in your life and bring you into your destiny to achieve it for his glory. That's my prayer for you today, friend. I trust that the Word of God will take hold in your heart and bring transformation in your life so that you can avoid the error of ego and walk in the blessings of God. Well, all too soon, our time for today has come to an end. I pray that you'll join me next week, this same time on this station, for another lesson on the five lies that destroy lives. Until then, may God richly bless you. Goodbye for now.